Today's podcast deals with a character who is suicidal. The Geek Cave podcast, and you want me to watch what? Feel that the world is better with you in it than not. And so if you have suicidal thoughts or you are in crisis, please call 988, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Talk to a trusted counselor, friend, parent, spiritual advisor, whatever you need to get the help that you need. Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what are your thoughts on A Man Called Ove?
This was not the movie I was expecting.
Oh?
Yeah.
He says.
I says. Doesn't mean it was a bad movie. It's just not the movie I was expecting.
This was one of those risk-reward movies. Mm. I took a risk, hoping that you would enjoy it, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
For those of you tuning in, welcome.
Hello.
This is You Want Me to Watch What? A podcast that basically involves Justin and I recommending movies to one another, watching them, and then inviting you in to listen to our conversation afterwards. And this week, we watched A Man Called Ove, I'm pretty sure it's Swedish film.
I believe so.
That was then given kind of a Swedish comedy drama based on a novel by the same name. Anyway, it is pretty well regarded critically, nominated for a bunch of awards, won a couple of them, but it's a bit of a heavy movie.
Yes.
Especially for a comedy. So, 60-year-old Ove, he lives in a townhouse neighborhood, and he is depressed. We don't know exactly why yet, we just know that he's depressed. He's worked at the same company for 43 years, and they push him into retirement. And so, he leaves the office, he brings flowers to his wife's grave, he goes home, he puts on his suit and his tie, and he puts a rope around his neck and starts to hang himself when new neighbors across the street, an immigrant woman, Parvana, and her Swedish husband Patrick and their two kids are smashing his mailbox. Because Patrick doesn't know how to drive in reverse. And it interrupts his suicide so that Ove is a very controlling man. He's a grump.
A curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon is a beautiful word for it. And he wants things to be just absolutely right. And when things don't go right, he gets very angry. And so he stops hanging himself. Like, he hasn't stepped off of the stool yet. He takes the robe off. He goes outside. He yells at them, gets in the car, and they're like, where do you want me to stay? And he's like, don't worry, I know how to drive. And backs their trailer up, just frustrated. And so another day goes by. Like, the moment is ruined for him. And so he goes back to the cemetery, and he's talking to his wife. You know, he's like, "I promised I would meet you, and you know, we've got neighbors, and things are going wrong, and so on." And so he tries again, puts on his suit, his tie, does that, and this time he kicks the stool out, and we get a flashback to his childhood. Back to his mother dying, his father, the relationship he had with his father, who was a very matter-of-fact man, you know, railroad worker, you know, so on and so forth. And then the rope breaks. And he falls down, and he survives. And the very next scene, it's not Taika Waititi. Like, it's not that jarring of a tonal shift.
Yeah.
But, like, the very next thing is him holding up the rope to the poor teenage cashier at the hardware store. It's like, all purpose. This is supposed to be for any purpose. And she's just like, what did you use it for? And he throws the rope down and walks away.
Yeah.
These attempts, they become less frequent, but there are about four of them over the course of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two attempts with hanging. The next one, he tries to kill himself with carbon monoxide poisoning. And this time, it's him talking about his time working in the railroad. And his dad died by getting hit by a train. And so he got a job there, and the white shirts come. So the white shirts are kind of the stand-in for corporate soullessness.
Yep.
You know, for inhumanity, or just an absence of humanity is probably more appropriate there.
Yep.
And so the white shirts come and say, well, your house is an eyesore. It's got to be torn down. And so he spends a whole bunch of time, like, this is all while he's suffering this carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, it's another flashback.
You know, in his car, part of the flashback where, you know, he fixes up his house. But then when his neighbor's home catches fire, and that fire causes his own home to burn, when he goes to try to rescue it, the white shirts are there to say, no, it's going to be torn down anyway. And they stop the firefighters from doing their job. Now, Ove being homeless, we get his introduction to Sonya, who he goes to sleep on the train, wakes up, and there she is. She buys him a ticket because he has no ticket. He has no money. And so he spends every morning for the next 3 weeks sleeping on the train, hoping that she'll be on that train again so he can meet her. They begin dating. He earns his degree in engineering. And then there's a banging on the garage door, which wakes him up and is coughing and gagging. And he turns the car off and he goes out, and, you know, and there's Parvana. I need you to take me to the hospital because my husband has fallen off the ladder. Of course he has.
And she can't drive.
She can't drive. She's got two. So Ove's got to take Parvana and the two daughters to the hospital, where as he gets there and he's trying to put money in to the parking thing, and they're like, who writes a ticket at the hospital? So they go in, and he starts to develop this fun little relationship with the two girls, the two children. You know, when they say, you need to read it like the bear, you know, the bears don't talk.
Yeah.
The one in this book does. And so he starts grumbling and doing this. Rah, 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 rah. And it's nice that it's all in Swedish, so it sounds very growly and bear-like. They get back out to the car. Well, Patrick is fine. He'll be fine, you know.
Broke a leg.
He broke a leg. And there's a scene in there also where he gives a clown a coin, and the clown, like, does a magic trick, but then gives him the wrong coin back, and so he gets into a fight with the clown.
Yeah.
It's like, man, for a while there, you was my spirit animal, you know, just with the general curmudgeonliness.
Yeah.
But I think I would have let that one pass.
Yeah, he got money back, real money, just not that coin.
So, he gets a ticket on his car. And she claims that she'll pay for it. Parvana says, I'll pay for it. You know, he's like, it's my car. And he takes it from her. Five attempts. Not four, five. I forgot the one at the train station where he's going. This is how his dad died, was basically getting hit by a train.
Yeah.
And so he's at the train station and he's going to get it ready. He's going to step in front of one. And then somebody passes out and lands on the tracks, and everyone's, you know, filming or looking at their phones. And so he jumps down, saves the man. And it's at this point that we start seeing a little bit more of Ove opening up. You know, it's like all these times that he's just really bad at dying. You know, he meets with Parvana more often, and he talks about his relationship with one of the other men from the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
that he didn't get along with because, well, he got along great with him until they realized that they drove two different types of car.
Yeah.
Where Ove's commitment to Saabs and the other guy's preference for Volvo eventually led to what Ove called a coup that the other guy organized a coup to replace Ove as chairman of the neighborhood watch or whatnot. But he also starts adopting some of Sonia's, his wife's mannerisms in that he starts helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he takes in an injured cat. He repairs a bike that he confiscated from a kid who parked it where he shouldn't have. He takes in a gay youth who was kicked out of his house by his father because he was one of those gays.
Yes.
You know, and he just keeps having these things. And eventually it kind of hits this point where he realizes that in all of his grief over Sonia, he has let a whole bunch of other things fall away, including some of his relationships. And so he tries to prevent the friend, Rune, the other guy who is like him, the Volvo owner, from being forced into a nursing home. Because he finds out about it kind of last minute, and he needs Parvana's phone because he was committing suicide. So his phone isn't hooked up anymore. And she finally loses her temper with him that you think everyone needs help but you. And we get one last flashback of Sonia and getting pregnant and going on vacation and then a bus accident and losing the baby, becoming paralyzed, and all the different things that Ove did to help her realize what dreams they could.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, like, they get one over on the white shirts just in time for, like, Ove to collapse with, like, this heart thing. And Parvana shows up, and she tells Ove that he is terrible at dying. You know, all these times, all these attempts that he's made have been completely unsuccessful. And then his own heart, which is too big, you know, starts failing on him, and he still survives.
Yeah.
And so we get this wonderful montage then of Ove kind of the next year of his life, maybe not quite, but definitely a span of time
mm-hmm.
where he builds those relationships back up until finally the movie ends with him dying in his sleep, having found some peace, you know, leaving instructions for his funeral, you know, and don't invite anyone, you know, I want it small, you know, have a real church funeral in a real church. Don't invite anyone who doesn't think that I didn't carry my weight.
Yeah.
And the very last scene, and honestly, the last scene is the one that made me think, you know, this is why I want you to watch it, is that very last scene when old Ove, this 60-year-old something guy, wakes up and he's in that same position that he was when he saw Sonia first on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of sits up and they do the way that they held hands through it. And it's just this very dark movie that has bits of levity, but that ends on such a bright, hopeful note that it is almost an emotional whiplash moment.
Kind of. Yeah.
And so having spent an inordinate amount of time talking about what is a very simple story, I'm interested in your impressions and thoughts.
So the first time I was introduced to this movie at all was when I saw the trailer for the upcoming Tom Hanks remake, A Man Called Otto.
Right.
And I thought, well, that looks fun. Curmudgeonly. Tom Hanks playing a curmudgeon. That looks interesting. And then you pointed this movie out. I'm like, oh, okay, it's the source material. Fine. Yeah, sure. And you had warned me that there was a suicide attempt.
I only remembered the one.
And so I'm watching this like, okay, here it is, here it is. And then from here on out, we're going to be building up relationships and, you know, becoming less Grinch-like and like, oh, there's another one and another and another and another. So this movie was, it was hard to watch at times. And then we start getting through the suicide part and he starts helping people more, and then we see what happened between him and Sonya, and I'm just like, oh my god, this man cannot catch a break. Okay. I mean, at first I thought, okay, she died in the bus accident. Well, that, I mean, okay, I guess you can stay single for the rest of your life and and that would, you know, certainly make somebody bitter. Oh, she survived. Oh, they lost the baby. Okay. Oh, she's paralyzed. Good lord. What else are we going to tack on top of all this?
Yeah.
And it was just...
We're given reasons for his...
Yes, we are given a complete full picture of why, at the beginning of the movie, he is so grumpus. Not just...
The lesser-known Christmas demon.
The lesser... Yes, you've got Santa, Krampus, and Grumpus. Grumpus is for those who believe in the Christmas spirit and try to do good, but they're just pissy about it.
Ebenezer in June.
Yes. And so, yeah, it was difficult to watch at times, and then there would be moments of levity. After the first attempt, when he stopped because the neighbors were having trouble, I'm like, the curmudgeon is so strong in him that he can't just let one thing go.
Nope. You can't let that go.
No.
Somebody might be having fun.
Yeah. And...
Well, because you're not supposed to drive on the path.
Yeah, that's a thing. You're not supposed to drive on the path. You park the car, and then you walk everything down. Well, you know. So it was just... It was a good movie. It was well written, well acted, well done. It was a hard movie.
Okay.
Because of all of the attempts and everything, and I don't regret seeing it, but it's not something I'm gonna be in the mood to watch again, if ever.
Out of curiosity, do you think you'll watch A Man Called Otto?
I don't know. I think I was really into it, and now that I've seen the source material, I don't know if they're going to change it for American audiences or whatever, you know. So what I think I might do is read the Wikipedia summary and see how much it differs from the source material, and then make my decision from there.
This is I watched this movie because it showed up at the Oscars one year, like 89th Oscars.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. Didn't win. That's fine. But it was one of those things where I don't pay attention to the Oscars very much, which I realize as a movie guy, maybe I should, but I just don't. I don't care.
Yeah.
I've got too much of my father in me, you know, that says a whole bunch of rich people patting themselves on the back for playing make-believe in front of a camera.
That does sound like your dad.
So... But it was one of those that it was a surprise a bit that it was nominated because of some of those exact themes. And so I was like, well, I'm interested. I want to know.
Yeah.
And so I watched it like at 6 a.m. You know, back in like 2012, 2013. No, it was released after that. 15, 16, you know, somewhere in there. You know, I was up early and everyone else in the house was asleep. And I'm like, you know, okay, no one else is going to want to watch a Swedish dramedy. So I'll watch it. And I really appreciated all the character work that went into it.
Oh, yeah.
Where Ove is a full-on bully, except to Pervana.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because she doesn't let him.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
Tries.
He tries,
but
yes.
She doesn't let him. She stands toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah.
Anytime that he tries to do that kind of stuff. And it's like, that's really what starts to pull him back out is like, this is somebody who's like me, somebody who is tough, somebody who made a decision that they're not going to be this shrinking person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she forces the cat on him. You know,
she does.
She gives him, you know, the rice and curry, you know, the Iranian food or Persian food.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. He's like, what was wrong with, you know, meat and potatoes? And then the next shot, you see him sitting at the table eating the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When he finally teaches her how to drive, and there's the person behind honking and pulling on it, and he bodily yanks the guy out of the truck that was doing the honking, gets back in the car, turns to her, is like, you have given birth two times, soon to be three. You have fought. You have faced, you know, war, you've become a refugee, you've traveled, you've emigrated, you've gotten married to an idiot of a man.
And learned a new language.
And learned a new language. You are going to learn to drive. It is not that hard. Now, put it in gear. Throttle. Clutch.
And that is the only time that he is aggressive towards her and she takes it. But it's also well-meaning aggression. He's not belittling her. He's giving her tough love in that moment. And that is the only time she takes it.
He's being the friend we all sometimes need to have.
Yes.
Which is the one that says, I'm going to tell you truths.
Yes.
That you're going to hate hearing, and you need to hear them anyway.
Yes.
And so I understand that this movie won't be for it's, I think, pretty much like every single foreign language film I've had you watch. It's like, this is a little weird. It's out there. It's got something to it that is, if not objectionable, at least difficult. Kind
of
like Run Lola Run, you know, had that constant, you know, between the camera work and the repeating timelines and so forth. It was just rough, you know. Actually, this might be the only other foreign language film we've watched.
I think so. I have watched foreign language films, but I think this is the second one that you and I have purposely sat down and watched.
I've got more.
Yay.
Nope, the next one has one of these things, too. I'll come up with something that's not for a bit.
Okay. Let's just space them out. That's all.
Well, because soon we're going to be getting into Christmas movies.
That's true.
So maybe we'll be able to. I mean, last year you had me watch the. Wasn't that a Finnish?
Oh yes.
Horror,
so technically three,
Christmas
but I
movie?
Yeah, I submitted that one. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that was good.
Yeah,
I like that. I was planning on watching that again this year.
Okay,
if
so
I
here's
get a copy. From
I
you.
Picked the foreign films.
I got one more that I think is worth watching for sure.
Fair.
But it can wait.
Okay.
How's that?
Perfect.
So I think that this is a worthwhile watch, maybe only once or twice.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a very well-made movie that is worth seeing.
I agree. I really do. It was a very well-put-together movie. It told a complete story. It told a good story. There were just a lot of rough things to get through. It is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So I think, well, that's it for me. I guess that means it's your turn, right?
Yes.